Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're continuing to talk about an amazing spiritual gift that the Lord gives to us in baptism, confirmation, the spiritual gifts, one of the Isaiah gifts from Isaiah chapter 11. Particularly, it's focused on in the sacrament of confirmation. And as we come into full membership in the church and we're being equipped by the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit, and these gifts help orient us to God properly and to his mission, their participation in the spiritual gifts of the Messiah, of Jesus. It's the gifts that Jesus himself pours out on us in his body and the church. And it's a precious, precious gift that's rarely talked about, I think, and when it is spoken about, it's not spoken about very clearly in the way Scripture does. It's the fear of the Lord is such a precious gift. The Isaiah passage says that not only does he have wisdom and knowledge, but he has the fear of the Lord, and his delight is in the fear of the Lord. That's describing who Jesus is. Jesus, his delight was to express and to live in a healthy fear of his Father. And for some reason, in the modern ear, just that idea, the word fear, there's an allergy kind of to relate that word to God in some way. And I think that's a mistake. So I wrote a little booklet that's going to be coming out in a couple of months called Fear God and Give Him Glory, taken from the passage in Revelation, which we'll touch on maybe tomorrow, the book of Revelation, because you can see, I want us to see how much this word and this realization, this reality is present throughout the whole Bible. And if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program this week, you could go to our website. I've been covering this since Monday. I think a lot of good stuff here that the church gives us that's very, very helpful. And I think particularly helpful for right now in the life of the church. One of the reasons the wheels are falling off in our culture and the church herself is filled with so much weakness and compromise in many ways that's being manifested in some of the baptized, even some of the leaders of the church, and a desire to kind of conform to the wisdom of the world and sort of get with the worldly project, you know, to line up and to start saluting what Pope Benedict XVI called the new emerging anti-Christian creed that's being formed by secular culture. And people are running, you can always tell, some leaders and others are running up to conform, to kind of get along, to fit in. One of the things you know for sure, the fear of the Lord's not working there in their life. There's a deep fear of men. There's a desire to belong, their desire to cling on, hold on to things, you know, that we built and done. We don't want to lose anything. We don't want to have to sacrifice. We don't want to be canceled. We don't want to be rejected, anything like that. And there's a different kind of fear that operates there. It's the fear of men. Sometimes it's inordinate self-love that keeps us in a condition of slavery, and we're looking to please the wrong people, that kind of thing. So if you haven't had a chance to tune into the programs this week, as I said, programs are archived on our website. Best thing to do is download the Renewal Ministries app. There's just a lot of good stuff. The videos we've been doing on YouTube have become very popular, I think very helpful for people in these difficult times. We're continuing to be very dedicated to bring you the clearest stuff we feel like the Lord wants us to pay attention to. We need each other during these times. We need to come together. We need to be humble before the Lord, but we need to be bold. We need to be bold in the Lord and not be afraid of anything. And right now, the culture is trying to get us to cower, to be timid. And remember what Scripture says, that you have not been given a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-control. One of the ways we come into that power, love, and self-control is to live in these spiritual gifts, to live out of the equipment, to live out of the power, to give out of the special graces that the Lord gives us in baptism and confirmation, to walk in his footsteps and live as he lived. I ended yesterday's program by talking about just reading some of the beautiful passages that describe the fear of the Lord. And for example, Psalm 25:14, the friendship of the Lord is with those who fear him, who are friends of God, those who fear him, who fear his holy name. I love this one I mentioned yesterday. It's worth repeating. Psalm 86:1 is the cry of the heart of King David. Lord, unite my heart to the fear of your name. Unite my heart to the fear of your name so that I can live in wisdom, that I can love your commands, that I can follow you with fidelity and faithfulness. And we see what Jesus did. And I think the cross is the place where Jesus expressed his filial fear of the Lord, deeply, deeply purified in love. Like, if you think about John 14, verse 31 and following, in that Last Supper discourse where Jesus is talking to the apostles and he says, I won't be with you much longer. He said, because the devil's coming after me. So Jesus is communicating to them something they probably didn't want to hear. You're not going to be seeing me. You know, I'm only going to be with you for a short period of time, but I want to tell you why that is. And he's saying, because the devil's coming after me, but I want you to know, you my friends, I want you to know that the devil has no hold on me. He has no hold on me, but what's going to happen, they didn't know yet, but the crucifixion that was about to happen within just a couple of days, Jesus said, the devil has no hold on me, but I do whatever the Father commands me to do, because I want the whole world to know that I love the Father. The fear of the Lord, the godly fear of the Lord, is expressed in Jesus when he said, Father, can you take this cup from me, but not my will, but yours be done, Father. Not my will, but yours be done. And so he's saying to us on the cross, what I'm expressing to you and to the whole world, that I do everything the Father commands me to do, because I want the whole world to know that I love the Father. So you see this gift of fear of the Lord that's working, but it's working really in perfection expressed in love, in his radical love. And it helps us, and it helped Jesus, and it helps us, the fear of the Lord, to be rightly ordered to God and being attentive to his commands. And that brings us into life and into health. Mother Mary, Luke chapter 1, verse 50. Again, she said in her beautiful Magnificat, and his mercy is on those who fear him in every generation. The mercy of God. You remember in the Acts of the Apostles, verse 5, the story of Ananias and Sapphira, when they lied about, they basically deceived Peter. They lied about the financial giving and what happened. God struck them dead. And it says here in the passage, verse 11, chapter 5, and great fear came upon the whole church and upon all those who heard these things. God judges sometimes in the moment, in the world. His judgments are felt, and he reveals them to shake people out of self-preoccupation, out of inordinate self-love, in this case, out of greed and out of deception, in order to teach, as I read yesterday, going all the way back to Mount Sinai, when the Lord made covenant with his people. And he said very clearly, as they were trembling before the mountain at the presence of the holiness of God, they knew they didn't want to get close because they knew he was holy and they weren't holy. And Moses said, don't be afraid. What God is doing is he's proving you, and he's putting the fear of him in you so that you do not sin. And so this is something that's important. And I think for Christians, one of the things that helps us live in a healthy fear of the Lord is knowing that the judgment day is coming. And for example, St. Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due to him for the things he's done while in the body, whether good or bad. Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we persuade men. So how do we know the fear of the Lord? In this case, one of the examples is we know that we'll appear before the judgment seat of God, and that we're going to give an account for our life. Did we respond to the offer of salvation? Did we repent? Did we say yes to God? Did we follow him? Did we learn to love him and love his commandments and walk in the language, the love language of heaven, which is, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. The fear of the Lord undergirds that momentum. St. Peter, in the first chapter of his first letter, he said, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile. Now he's talking to Christians. So he's talking about filial fear. He's not talking about slavish fear. He knows they're children of God, And he knows the Spirit of God that's at work in him is at work in them, helping us learn to see and understand and experience the reality that we're children of God, and that the Spirit speaks to our spirit, helping us cry out, Abba, Father. And we know we can go to the Father. But this fear that he's talking about is that filial fear that brings wisdom. He says, you're now in a time of exile. You're not a part of this world fully, right? You're in the world, but you're not of the world. You're exiled from what? Your heavenly home. In this world, Jesus said, you will have tribulations. Be of good cheer, he said, because I've overcome the world. And so Peter, a good shepherd, writing to communities that are really in trial, are suffering, are being rejected by the world. Some people are even being martyred. And Peter, in his wisdom, once he was afraid of what could happen to him on Holy Thursday night, he was afraid of what the powers could do to him. And he is beyond that now. And he's passing on his confidence and his security in the Lord and his wisdom to them and saying, now, conduct yourselves with fear. Walk in the will of God. Don't be seduced by the world. Don't be intimidated by the world. Remember what Jesus said. In this world, you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. That means you are an overcomer because you're in him who has overcome it all. The worst this world can do to you is to kill you, to shorten your life. For a Christian, if that's in God's will, and it has to be, because God determines when you're going to be born and when you're going to die, that's a good thing. It's not something to be afraid of, because you know you're passing from this world and you're going home. And you're going home to the heavenly home that you were made for, that Jesus has established for you, that he's made a way for you, and that your mission on this earth is finished. All things are in his hands, friends. Trust him. Philippians 2:12, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Fear and trembling. I'm going to talk about that tomorrow a little bit more from the book of Revelation, just share some stories from my own life where I've experienced what Father Lagrange described. He said, the soul at times experiences a vivid encounter with the majesty of God, and we get filled with holy fear. And the soul is touched by the Spirit. This is an important spiritual gift for our time. Today, many Christians are living under the intimidation of an increasingly secular and hostile culture. People are being afraid of being canceled, they're afraid of being rejected, being considered backward, being set outside of circles of influence, not recognized, not respected. All that stuff is in play right now in a way that it hasn't been, because the church historically in the country has had a place of ascendancy and it had great respect at certain times in the past. All that's going away now. And more is this rising attitude that you got to be a fool to do the religion thing, because the religion thing is standing in the way of living a smart life. And it's standing in a way of the great virtues now that the secular, this anti-Christian creed that's emerging in the culture. We'll talk about that more tomorrow. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.